You can go away. Okay, finished a bit of self-propaganda. I'm Alberta Stalfi. I'm computer science by a university in Catalonia. I've been 5 years in programming with C and C++, with Qt since Antutu 2. As seen in this morning in Qt keynote, it's quite average time to be programming with Qt. I learned with KDE a bit later, and well, I'm mostly well known by being KPDF maintainer since that year, and I entered EV membership this year. Okay, let's begin with the Poppler project. What is the Poppler project? Okay, it's a PDF rendering library. It's a fork of XPDF codebase. Actually, the codebase is very similar to XPDF. It's also a free desktop project because there are several different projects using it, and it was a good idea to host it in free desktop. And well, it's also a strange name. It's a popular, it's those little thing you see there. It's from Futurama series, and I really don't know why this name was chosen. But if you wonder what Poppler means, it's that little thing. Okay, what Poppler is not? It's not a PDF manipulation library. You can't create PDFs with it. You cannot remove pages, nor add pages, nor export from PS to PDF, or try to write any PDF with Poppler. It's only rendering. And it's not a library you can use in non-GPL software, as XPDF is a completely GPL software and we are a fork of it. It's mandatory that we are GPL too. So if you want to use Poppler in a non-GPL application, you can. You cannot. You can try to contact XPDF author as he sells commercial licenses of his code. But it's not Poppler. It's okay, why fork? There are several good reasons for forking XPDF. The first one is XPDF development is no problem. XPDF is open source, but it's developed by one man, and he rarely accepts patches because, what I said, he sells commercial version of XPDF, so he has to own all the copyright. If he accepted patches, he would need you to give him the copyright agreement, so he does not accept patches and he does not have that problem. XPDF is not a library, it's only a binary. If you want to use XPDF, you have to grab all its code and embed it in your tree. That is a bad thing, because the third point, XPDF has had some security problems, and I'm sure it still has. That means that when a problem is found, all the projects using XPDF sources had to be patched one by one, and that means that distributions had to roll out maybe 10 or so packages of patched versions of programs. Also, XPDF has been developed in a way that is it has very few external dependencies. This can be a good idea and a bad idea. It's a good idea in the sense that it's the most portable way because all you need is yourself. It's a bad idea because there's no need to code a GPG decoder, as there's already libgpg. Okay, why we choose XPDF to fork and not something else? Because XPDF is probably the best free PDF rendering engine. Because it's GPL, so we can fork it if you want, there's no problem with that. Also, most of the people involved in Poppler have already been working with XPDF sources. Myself with KPDF, some known people in GPDF, some known people also in Evins, etc. Also, there's GodScript that can render PS and PDF, but Vue.js is really in bad shape. For example, Kagos View renders PDF but has drawbacks, and the library is, for example, not really multi-threading safe and well. That's one of its issues. Then why free desktop? Okay. A PDF viewer can be, is really an essential desktop application. I mean, there's really a lot of PDF documents around and people want to see them. So yeah, PDF viewer is a thing you need. So if we go to the free desktop page, we see they say free desktop is some software projects working on blah 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 blah. It fits what we are doing. It gives also developers tools we need, CBS, Space, Mozilla, etc. And it's a good place to gather people from NonCamp, KDA Camp, some other places without them feeling bad, because if we develop it, for example, Poplar in KDA is the end, the known people will say, this is not a neutral project, you are doing it inside KDA, etc. Okay. And now, who is working in Poplar? This is ordered alphabetically. No, it's not that myself. I'm the first because I'm with A. Okay, I'm trying to add KPDF features to Poplar. What does it mean? It means that in KPDF we already had some patches over XPDF sources. So I'm trying them to accept our patches. It's being a bit difficult. And when they also have new features that we want them, I port them to KPDF and vice versa. Also, there's Jonathan Blanford. He's doing work on GDF buildings and has recently done one program called PDF Inspector based on the Poplar code. It's very interesting because does the time each function from the code that draws, no, sorry, that's how many time it, the code spent in a drawing function, so we can see which function is the one we should optimize really. Then there's Brad Hart, present here, that has been doing the Qt4 buildings, some crypto work, also coding the Arthur Outputdev. We'll speak about Outputdev a bit later, and recently sent a patch to detect if a PDF has an attached file. It's quite interesting. Christian Hoxberg, well, I don't know if it's the real pronunciation. He is the Poplar coordinator. He created the project in Free Desktop, he got us some accounts, etc. He has done some interesting things like text selection from inside the Outputdev device. The Outputdev device is what renders the image we show you. Now, the text selection, I mean, if you say, I want to find Albert, and it lights Albert, is done in another layer outside the Poplar. We do it with QPainter, and Events people does it with JTK. But he has done that the highlighting is done from the inside of the output device, that is quite nice. There's Martin Kretschmann too, that was the GPDF author and helps us reviewing patches. Jeff Muisirar, he started working the Q3 bindings and has done DCT stream and text stream that use some well-known libraries to decode streams that are present in PDF files that previously were decoded using XPDF code. Marco Presenti, that does also some related work, and then there's Leonard Rosenfeld, that really hasn't done any work, but he's a person that knows the PDF structure a lot, and helps us with some test cases and some advice when it's needed. I want to note that from here there are three people that are in Red Hat, that are Jonathan, Christian, and Marco. That means three for Red Hat, zero for other distributions. Quite interesting. Okay, popular structure. We have three library interfaces, different frontends, you can call them. There's the Qt3, the Qt4, and the glib. About the naming, I don't really know why it's called glib, because it's really a GTK frontend. But well, they choose that name, so whatever they want. That bindings offer the programmer the possibility of using more library-oriented interface. I mean, you are, when you see the Qt3 binding, it's really Qt3 similar, but if you see the XPDF code, it's really strange for a Qt programmer. Inside XPDF, inside Poplar, we have a structure inherited by XPDF, that are these four parts. Goo is some low-level functions about memory reserving, some list, hash, etc. Fofi is used for font interaction. It speaks to FreeType and does some low-level code, low-level work about fonts. There's Splash, that is the native XPDF renderer, and also the XPDF that works around the PDF discussion. Well, more structure about Poplar. We have the OutputDev. The OutputDev is the thing that works with the PDF and renders it. Okay, not always renders it, because we have two special OutputDevs that are PS OutputDev and Text OutputDev. PS OutputDev creates a PS file from the PDF file, and text output dev creates plain text from PDF. Then there's three renderers: Arthur, Cairo, and Splash. In my opinion, Splash, that is the original XPDF renderer, it's still the best. Cairo is quite good, but still is a bit slower sometimes, and Arthur output dev is still a bit experimental. Okay, new features we have in Poplar that XPDF doesn't have. Okay, we have the Cairo and Arthur rendering backends. We have the bindings that allow people a faster programming because they are easier to understand. We have font config support. It's a thing I really proud to have, because XPDF reads the font configuration from its configuration file. And there are some hard-coded fonts, and if you want something else, it will never finish, even if you have the font installed in your system. With font config support, if you have that font, you will see it rendered, that sometimes is much better than what XPDF tries to do with that font. We use libgpage and zlib for the compressed DCT streams and fade streams. That's good, because we remove code from Poplar and use code from libraries that have been very tested and possibly have less bugs than XPDF. It has a quicker link search that can be, you can say, bad. That's not an important feature, but it is, because there are some documents that have a glossary, and that page maybe has 100 links or more. If it without links, you could see a delay when you place it the mouse over a link, and the library realizes it was really a link, so it has to put the hand icon there. And well, we have some bugs fixed when related to XPDF 3.00. XPDF 3.01 was released maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And of course, the author fixed some books too, so we are now in a pack. Well, we are a bit worse because apart from fixing books, he added features we don't have. One features we don't have that Nick's PDF does not have. We read some PDF information like page level. Page level is, you have usually seen a page with number 3 in the viewer, but it really is 1 because there are two pages before that were not numbered. Okay, so the page 3 will really be 1 only, because for the author it has a 1 number, so you'll see 1 and not 3, even if it's the 3 in the document. Page mode, that means that the PDF document can ask it, hey, please show me full screen when you open me. So we obey that and do that. Page transition, there's really some fancy things you can do with PDF. In presentation mode, it can do most things presentation programs can do. Scrolling, going out, going inside. We also read the thumbnail. Thumbnail, it's very interesting thing to do because sometimes you see in KPDF thumbnails take a lot of time to render, and then open some document in Adobe Acrobat and you see them pop up instantaneously. Why does this happen? Because the thumbnail is embedded inside the file. In Poplar, we read the thumbnails too, so when KPDF finally uses Poplar, you see instantaneous thumbnails in files that have them, of course. We have a pluggable error function. Not that it's very important, but XPDF really now uses the standard output error to output all of its errors. And some of them are really, really, really strange. A user will never know what does it mean. So there's no need to output it. You could not understand some PDF function. So we can plug an error function and tell, okay, redirect that to KDBook. So the developer sees it, but not the normal user. It has metadata extension, so we can tell the library, okay, tell me the name of that PDF, and you have it. It's what we are using now for the key file plugin in for PDF. It has some independence from the XPDF RC file. That's very useful to finish because right now, for example, in the XPDF RC file, there's a line that specifies if you want to print to A4, to letter, or to whatever size. That's not good because we want that a library that uses Poplar prints to whatever size the library wants, not what the some file configuration says, because you might have an application that wants to print to one size, another application to another, and even the same user sometimes want to print to one size and some wants to another. We also have stricter document checking. That means some checks more are done than XPDF code. That's good because for example, in KPDF we do reload on modify of the file. The problem is that sometimes we try to reload the file when it has still not been reloaded, because I regenerated. You told LaTeX to regenerate the PDF file, it takes a lot of time. The file system told us, hey, that file has changed. So we try to reopen it, but it's still not regenerated. With XPDF code, it sometimes crashes because it does not realize the file is still not regenerated. And that also added some more permission reading. That means, well, that's very unpopular and it got me some problems when I added that to KPDF. But PDF can say, hey, you can print me, but not in a good resolution. You have to print me in a bad resolution. You can fill forms or you cannot. Okay, we had the permission reading. We'll see if we add the permission obeying to the final product. Oh, sorry. Okay, future plans. Of course, finish the independence of that configuration file, because maybe that file won't even be present, because we are not installing it, only XPDF is installing it. Merge the XPDF 3.01 code. There have been some nice features in that code, like support from semi-transparent images that really fix a lot of problems in our Baxilla. There were almost 5 different reports about not supporting transparent images. Also, finish merging KPDF features. We still have 1 or 2 minor features Popper doesn't have. Okay, we are now installing all the binding headers and XPDF headers. The problem is that XPDF headers are maybe 50 files or more. We don't want to install XPDF headers because that way we can work in an inner level, changing functions, changing API without problems, because we make the binding layer stay stable. Also, Brad is working on using a crypto library. I thought it was LibGKit instead of XPDF code, because it's better, and because XPDF code, for example, does not support some cryptography that LibGKit does and PDF also needs. Then attract more XPDF embed users. What do I mean by that? I mean that, for example, KaiOffice right now also has XPDF code inside it for the filter importing and exporting from KWord. We would like them to use it. I really tried it in a quick way to port the code, but it's a bit problematic because it's using old, very old XPDF code, based in the 2 version, and we are based in the 3 version, so things have changed a bit. And of course, we want to improve Arch Fragile rendering engines, because not because Splash is bad, but some people might like, for example, to use Arch, that it's a native Qt 4 library, so you have a better interaction with the system. Okay, there's already a lot of problems using Popper. Well, Arch is not bad. Of course, beans. That is the GNOME PDF viewer. They don't have an icon. They told me they were with MB with us because we have a nice icon and they don't have one. There's also Cat, the search engine. Everyone knows if Cat uses Popper, because I sent them a patch to use Popper. I think they added it, but then they have some internal problems, and I don't know if they went to XPDF problem, XPDF sources or what. Inside KDE, we are already using Popper in the KDE graphics module, in the PDF key file plugin. This is what says you, hey, that's file, let's name it whatever, when you put your mouse over the file. Also, AmyWord is using Popper for its import and export features to PDF, so we need to make QOffice use it too. And there's also Vindaloo, that I really don't know what it is, but it's added in a patch. We have code programs that use Popper. I think it's a PDF viewer for the GNOME platform. Okay. Let's see now how we can do a quick PDF viewer using the Qt3 bindings of Popper. Okay, that's all you need. You need to open the document. Once you have opened the document, check it open properly, because maybe your file here was not an existing file. You get the patch you want to render, you render it to a Pixmap, and then ask your widget to paint it. It's really easy. You have 10 lines, and you have a PDF viewer. Okay, it will follow links, and if you want to change pages, you have to add some more code to handle key presence. But it's really easy, and I can say that the API is quite nice. Okay, there's this 4 minus 1, that can be a bit strange, but this means that you can really ask the library to render only a part of the whole page. If you pass it minus 1, it means you want to render the whole page. Okay, and now KDDF and Portnet. It's a really controversial part because a lot of people think we are already using it and we are not. Okay, why don't we use it? There are three main reasons. Because our XPDF local copy of the code still is a bit better. We have two main benefits over Portnet. The first one is TTC found support. Okay, TTC is a variant of TTF that embeds more than one font in the same file. Maybe you have never used it, but Japanese, Korean, and that kind of fonts usually come in that format. And the second one is not writing the font to disk to pass them to FreeType. It's really a bit useless. Okay, you got the file, the font from the PDF file because it was embedded, and you need to pass it to FreeType to render it. FreeType can accept a buffer with the font. You don't need to write it to a file and say FreeType, okay, read that file. You can do it with memory, and it's much easier. Also, there's a recent bug in KPDF less than 3.4 because of that reason. 3.4.2 that has that code doesn't have that bug because we don't write the file. Okay, time. We always need time. I really hope it's to use Academy to make KPDF this popular, but we are already from feature freeze, so we are not going to use it. And then there's OpenLive, or whatever it's pronounced. Okay, I don't know what Popular is, but I'm smart. It's a Google Summer of Code project that tries to make a reader for PDF, PS, DVI, CHM, whatever format for KDE4. I'm the mentor of that Google Summer of Code project. The project is quite nice. It already almost completely works. So it was not really needed to make KPDF use Poplar because it will be superseded by Ocular. So let's make Poplar use Poplar, not KPDF that will die properly. Also, there's some wiki page, that's that page below, that we are marking what patches we have and what patches have been merged in Poplar.
Okay, any questions?
I remember that you in Adult Story or in Planet KDE, it was mentioned that KPDF was already capable of opening another kind of files which are not PDFs.
Yes. Okay, KPDF now can natively open PDF files and images. Okay, we don't leave people open images through the normal open file dialog because it's really not useful to open an image. It was done only to show we could open some other kind of documents. We can also open PS files, but it's really a hack. We see if you have the PS2PDF binary installed, you pass us the PS file, we convert it and show it as it was a PS, but it's not, it's a PDF. Converted on the fly.
So Ocular is not based on KPDF?
Ocular is based on KPDF because our architecture was mostly good for trying to open some other formats. It's reworked because he saw he needed to add some AP codes to be able of opening some other files, but for example, most of the architecture is very similar and all the PDF rendering part is the same. More questions? Yeah.
Do you have a XPDF or a PDF?
Well, can you repeat, please?
Do you have the original XPDA or the things of proper?
Yeah, I sent some mails to him. It's called Derek Norwood, I think, and he has never answered me. But that guy called Leonard Rosenfeld, that I told was a PDF master, is a good friend, or at least he and Derek answers his mails. And he told us in the popular mailing list that he's fine with the project. He does not think we are doing bad for him, because we are a GPL library, and his business is based on selling commercial versions of XPDF code. He doesn't have an issue with our project.
More questions?
I was wondering, as a free desktop project, is it a constructive collaboration or the problem?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, it's good. I mean, people are friendly, but you, at least my, what I've seen is that KDE and GNOME has really different working ways. I mean, in KDE, you usually do commits to the SVN and you are fine. There's no problem. With GNOME projects, they always want you to send the patch to the mailing list, discuss over and over and over if your first line is really good or you have to change one comma or one space. That is what is holding all the KPDF patches I've sent. I mean, the patches are mostly good, but I send them to the mailing list and nobody has still reviewed them. So, okay, I could commit to this CDS because I have an account, but then they'll be annoyed, probably. I don't know. Maybe I'll try someone sometime if I lost my patience waiting for the review. You see, I really had some blood about that some time ago, because I was really pissed in a moment that I saw I sent a patch, it was not reviewed, and then come Marco from GNOME camp, send the patch, and the day after it was in the CDS. And okay, I can wait, but let other people wait also. More questions? Thanks.